blood can cleanse us of all sin. And Father, I pray that we'd here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church would be just a society of the redeemed and those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we know that's what a true church is. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that's not under the blood, that come to Jesus and get under the blood and be safe from the wrath that is to come. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts about our responsibility next Sunday in this faith promise. We know that souls around the world will hinge upon what we do, Lord, in this faith promise next Sunday. And may we do the will of God, and we know you'll bless us if we do. Now, Lord, anoint me as I preach, and give me power, and Lord, help me to lift up Jesus and his word, and minister to thy people through the word this morning, and bless everything goes on these grounds. Defeat the devil and hindering spirits, and make it easy for people to get right with thee and to do the will of God in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. And Lord, we'll praise you for everything you're going to do. In your name, amen. And amen. Now, the Corinthian church promised to give an offering to the poor saints of Jerusalem and Judea. But after waiting about a year, Paul writes them here in 2 Corinthians 8 and challenges them to go ahead and keep that commitment. He challenges the Corinthian church to give by telling them how some of the churches up in the state of Macedonia had already willingly and sacrificially given to this same offering. And he reminds them in verse 1, or brings to their attention, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now what he's saying is, I remind you of the grace of giving that was expressed by the churches there in Macedonia, how they willingly gave and beyond themselves, as we'll find out. Now, why did Paul choose the Macedonian churches as an example here in verse 1 in trying to get the Corinthian church to go ahead and fulfill their commitment? I think that he had two specific churches in mind there in Macedonia. Keep your place. We'll come right back to this. Let's look at these two churches first that I believe Paul had in mind. Turn over to Philippians, a few chapters over the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, page 1261 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notice that verse. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done," talking to the church at Philippi. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Now, how did they do well? That ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, the word "communicate" doesn't say, "Paul, God bless you, and we're certainly standing with you. We've heard all about it. We're standing. We want you to know, boy, we're remembering you over here. We're praying for you." I'm sure that they did offer his sympathy and his affliction and all of that, and their prayers. And when Paul was going through this great trial, I'm sure that they prayed for him. But the word "communicate" doesn't mean just a bunch of "God bless you, we're praying for you." It means it's sharing of material provision. As they communicated, they sent him material provision to help him in his great time of need. Look at verses 15 and 16. "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." They're the only church that stood with Paul in this matter of supplying his needs financially, materially. "Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." They just kept on giving to Paul there as he was doing a work for God in Thessalonica, as he's reaching people for Jesus Christ. And by this time now, Paul had won many souls to Christ and had established many churches, but the only church that had a vision and a burden to help Paul win souls and build churches was this church here at Philippi. Now, this is sad that only one church Paul established would help him financially, but you know, things have not changed very much today, have they? Very few churches have a vision for soul winning, and very few churches have a vision for reaching people around the world for Jesus Christ. They have very few churches have a vision for missions. Sometimes churches will show a little interest in getting people saved in the inside the four walls of a church. But and sometimes you can get a few that might be interested in going out in the community and winning people to Christ, but you have very few that are burdened to reach souls around the world for Jesus Christ. They say, well, I believe charity ought to begin at home. I've heard that many times. And it ought to begin at home. We ought to be concerned about the home base first, beginning in Jerusalem, certainly. But it shouldn't stop there. It should go in Jerusalem and Judea and around the world. That is God's plan. Our concern for lost souls here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church ought to start right here and go out in the community and all over this area and over this nation and around the world. I remember years ago when we started our Faith Promise plan here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, I was talking to a preacher, and he's a good man now. This man, I won't even tell you his name. He's a good man. But I told him how our church was starting a Faith Promise plan here and mission giving, and he said, let me give you some advice. He said, be careful about pushing missions too much at your church. He said, your people will get so concerned for missions that they won't do anything at home. Now, I had a good preacher to tell me that. He was giving me, as an older preacher, he was giving me some advice that he thought would help me. But somehow, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me accept that reasoning. He was a good man, but he was giving me false advice. Somehow, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I felt in my soul that if I would take care of God's business, that God would take care of my business. And I thought, well, no, I know it's God's will for us to be interested in a mission program that around the world, and that's God's business. And God said, Jesus said, go into all the world. And I don't believe the Lord will let me down if I'll try to get this church to have a mission program encompassing the world. Well, when we started our Faith Promise plan, I think we were running about 400 to 500 in Sunday school, and now we're averaging over 700 in Sunday school, so it didn't hurt us too much, did it? And when we started our Faith Promise plan, we had around 90 to 100,000 coming in here each year in our church, and last year we took in over 500,000 at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I believe God has blessed Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church because we have got involved in a great program of missions here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Then the second Macedonian church that I want to mention, now the Macedonia was a state there in what is present-day Greece, and the second church there in Macedonia that I want to mention is the church of Thessalonica. Now the Philippian church supported Paul in planting the Thessalonian church. What kind of church was the church at Thessalonica? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, over a few pages there. And then we'll come back to 2 Corinthians. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 8, page 1267 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, we read Paul writing to this church, and he was commending them, and he said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. Now, isn't that a tremendous testimony to have? People everywhere had heard of the faith of the Thessalonian church. They had sent soul winners and missionaries all over that region, winning people to Jesus Christ. And they were a church that obeyed the Great Commission to go into all the world. I would like that said about Buffalo Ridge. Everywhere you go, people have heard about that church because of our stand for the old-time religion, our stand for the Word of God, and our stand for holy living, and our stand for reaching people for Jesus Christ. And I want that to be said of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So these two churches Paul had in mind, the church at Philippi and the church at Thessalonica. And I think that it is very clear why Paul used these Macedonian churches as an example to the Corinthians in their giving. And I want to point out, turn back to First, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now. And I want to point out four things about the example that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, the example set by these Macedonian churches. There's four things in these five verses, or verses 2 through verse 5, four verses that I want to point out. First of all, in verse 2, I want you to see the preciousness of their example. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. The people in Macedonia knew what it was to suffer for Jesus Christ. And we see the first great problem that they had in this verse, and this made their giving, their example precious. These two great problems, it's very evident that they had in this verse. And either one of these problems would have stopped probably most of us today in our serving the Lord and our giving. But they gave in spite of these two great problems. First of all, great affliction. How that in great affliction they gave, see. No one wants to go through times of suffering or trial. I thank God for every trial I've ever had, but I don't want another trial. But, suffering and trial, if we look to Jesus, can be a time of great blessing. And trouble builds strong Christian character. The trouble you're going through with now, if you'll look to Jesus, God will do something great in your life. And you'll be a better Christian. Why is trouble a blessing? Because trouble drives us to our knees where we cry out to God and look to Jesus. That's why trouble is a blessing. It causes us to look to the Lord. And if God didn't allow a little trouble to come to us every now and then, it'd be the worst thing that happened to us. If we didn't have a little trouble, if everything always went well down at your house and my house, it'd be the worst thing that happened to us. Well, we wouldn't be worth shooting at sunrise spiritually if we didn't have a little a trial every now and then. And so this affliction, the great trial of affliction that they were going through, did not stop this church, these churches of Macedonia, in their giving. In fact, it made them more generous in their giving. I've seen people here who were faithful to the services of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, faithful in their giving. And little trouble comes along, what do? They just said, well, it's not worth it. And they just give up. They just give up. And as your pastor, let me urge you not to give up when trouble comes. What should I do when trouble comes? Just tighten your belt and keep on going for the Lord like these Christians did here in Macedonia. So the preciousness of their giving, they gave in spite of great affliction. And then their second problem, we see in verse 2, is deep poverty. How in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty. Now, they weren't just having it rough. They weren't just having a hard time. I mean, brother, they were in sub-poverty level. I don't know where you know what sub-poverty level is. When I was a boy down in Saudi, they used to call that, they were as poor as Job's turkey. You ever heard that? Ever heard that news before? But it would have been easy for them to think only about themselves. But their poverty, their giving in their poverty, deep poverty, made their giving more precious. In their deep poverty, they were willing to give from poverty to the needs of others. And folks, in this time of economic crunch, will that be my testimony? Will that be your testimony? Will we, because of inflation and the economic crunch we're in today, will we cut our missions giving so we can take care of our own needs? Will we cut our mission giving, or will we cut back on new clothes or new car or new furniture or vacations or other items of luxury or recreational items? Your giving to Faith Promise next Sunday will indicate where your heart is. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, most of us are having it rough financially. Many of us have got kids going off to college. Many of our people are gone today to take kids to college. And it's going to be rough. I know I've had three in college, seemed like about 25, 30 years. So I know what it is. But most of us are having it rough financially. But let's find other ways, folks, to cut our giving. And do not cut our giving to missions next Sunday. Then in verse 3, let's notice the pattern of their example. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. The pattern of their giving was twofold. First of all, they gave according to their power or to their ability. And when you give according to your power or to your ability, it requires some sacrifice sometimes. These Macedonians had very little income, but they had a great burden to share with others, and they were willing to give of their means to get out the gospel and help others. You know, it doesn't take much faith to give sacrificially. All you have to do is reach in your billfold and pull out some money and give it if you have it. Or write a check and draw it out of your account down at the bank. And most of us who will be giving in faith promise next Sunday, we won't give by faith. I mean, the Lord has provided us with maybe a fairly good income, and all we have to do is just find out what God wants us to give and give it. And so most of us will be giving that way next Sunday. And you ought to commit yourself to that amount that God lays on your heart above your tithe each week, and then give it. Write it out next Sunday. What God lays on your heart, put it down there and say, this is what the Lord wants me to give, and put it on there and give next year as God provides. And God will bless that kind of giving. It's sacrificial giving. But there is another kind of giving here that we see in verse 3. Notice, they gave beyond their power. They gave beyond their ability. They gave all they could possibly give, and they weren't satisfied. And they said, Lord, provide us somehow with more money so we can give more in this offering. They wanted to give beyond themselves. And God heard their prayer, and God blessed them and enabled them to give more. Now, I can pick up maybe this pulpit chair. I guess I've still got enough strength to pick up that pulpit chair. But if I'd, that's natural strength. But if I'd go over, reach and pull and pick up that piano and walk with it, I'd have to have supernatural strength, supernatural ability. Now, these Macedonians gave beyond their power, and that means they gave by faith in God's power. That's a wonderful way to give. I mean, God laid on your heart to give something, and you don't have it, and you say, Lord, if you provide it, I'll give it, and God provides it, and you give it. Now, that's giving beyond your ability, and boy, that'll increase your faith. So, some of you this morning, maybe you'd like to give more next Sunday in faith promise, but you just don't have it. Maybe you're, say, giving $10 a week above your regular giving now into faith promise, and you'd like to give $15, $20 a week. You'd like to, but you just don't have it. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to give that much, you say, Lord, I don't have it. But if you'll provide it, I'll give it during the next 12 months. Now, that's giving beyond your ability. You feel burdened to give more, and you don't see your way clear, but you say, Lord, if you'll give it, if you'll provide it to me supernaturally and make me able to give it, I'll give it. Now that's really, right there, is really faith promise giving. That's giving beyond your power or beyond your ability. I like to see do things that I feel like that's beyond Gene Lansley, and I see the hand of God. I like to see the reality of God in a thing, don't you? And I like to see God work where you know it's not human nature or human power or human intellect, but it's of the Lord. And I'm reminded of 1 Kings 17. Elijah told the widow of Zarephath to bring me some water. And he said, by the way, while you're at it, I'd like a piece of bread to eat too. And she said, I don't have a cake of bread in the house. She said, I have a little meal in the bottom of the meal barrel, and I'm going to fix it for me and my son, and then we're just going to die because we have nothing left to eat. And Elijah said, make me a cake first. He was God's man. He was putting her to the test. See, she'd put God first. He said, make me a cake first, and then one for you and your son. And the Lord God of Israel said that if you will put his prophet first, that you will not run out of meal in your barrel, and your oil supply will not run out. And she obeyed God. She believed God's man and put God to the test. And for all during the drought, she'd go over there, and there'd be meal in the meal barrel and oil there until the drought was over. So God supernaturally provided her needs. Then back to 2 Corinthians 8 here. Let's notice in verse 4 the purpose of their example. In verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I like that, those words, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. What a great purpose in our giving, to minister to the saints. And this offering in 2 Corinthians 8 is a benevolent offering. But now, most of the giving done by the Macedonian churches was for church building and for soul winning. Like over in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 9, we won't turn to it. We find the Macedonian churches supported Paul in their giving when he preached at Corinth and established the church there. And I want you to see here in this verse that the purpose of their giving was to help others. It was an offering to minister to the saints. And not one penny stayed in Macedonia. Not one penny stayed there. It was an others offering. And that is what faith promise is. When you give in faith promise for the next 12 months at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, not one penny or stay here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That's why I can get up and say, you ought to give. And not one penny is going to stay here from faith promise to pay for my son. Now, I hope you'll give the tithe so I can keep eating and so that I won't have to move in with you and eat with you. But now, in your faith promise, not one penny will stay here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to pay for salaries, pay for the light bill, pray for debts on buildings or anything else. It will, every penny you give in faith promise will go to missions at home and abroad. And that is faith promise, giving so that church, that souls around the world can hear of Jesus Christ. Then look at the power of their example in verse 5. Now this is exciting. These folks, the example of these Christians in the churches of Macedonia, their giving is exciting. And what drove these people to give? And they were in the midst of affliction and deep poverty. And what caused the fire to burn in their soul to make them just give of themselves? And I'd like for everyone here, including this preacher, to get this fire in my soul this morning. Now the answer is in verse 5. Look at it. And this they did, not as we hope. Now here's the secret right here. Look at it. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. Now that's the driving force. That's the secret behind their sacrificial giving. They gave themselves to the Lord. Let me say this morning, the Lord wants you more than he wants your service. Now get that. He wants you first. And he wants you more than he wants your money. Folks, God's not going broke. You know that? You don't, listen, you ought not give to bail God out. God's not about to go broke. God owns everything. And he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. the wealth in every mind, as the songwriter says. Why, if the Lord wanted to, he could cause it to rain gold bars outside. Do you know that? I mean, God's not about to go broke. And God doesn't need money. Now, keep that in mind. First of all, he wants you and he wants me. And he wants people sold out to him. That's what the Lord wants. And if you're not a dedicated Christian this morning, God doesn't even need or want your money. Do you know that? I mean, God, if you're not a dedicated Christian, he doesn't need or want your money. And if you're not sold out to Jesus Christ, and if you give in the faith promise offering for the next 12 months, God's not going to bless you for it. The Lord says, first of all, son, give me thine heart. That's what the Lord wants, first of all. Now, I don't really want anyone to sign a faith promise card next Sunday until you, and I don't want you to give a cent, first of all, until you say, Lord, first of all, I want to give myself to you. Now, that ought to come before you sign that card next Sunday. Say, Lord, I want to give myself to you. And a great revival can come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church if we'll just, it could come today in this auditorium if we had just say, Lord, I want you to have my life. Lord, I want to give myself to you. As Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The first thing the Lord wants from you today is not your money. He wants you. First thing the Lord wants of me is not my preaching and my money. He wants me. He wants me to be sold out to him. And if you're unsaved today, the Lord wants you to surrender to him and trust him, and he will save you. I'll tell you, I got to thinking this morning of Bob Milhorn. At 4 o'clock this morning, Bob Milhorn checked out and went over to be with Jesus. Now, we grieve, and certainly our hearts go out to the family. But now, really, folks, don't grieve for Bob Milhorn. Bob Milhorn is better off than we are. Bob Milhorn saw Jesus this morning about 4 o'clock. Hallelujah. He saw Jesus. And that's the payoff for being a child of God. That's why you ought to get saved here this morning if you're not saved. But one day, you're going to check out of this old place. And if you've been saved, you know the Lord, you'll check out here and wake up on the streets of gold in the presence of the Lord. And if you die without Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the rich man lift up his eyes being in torments. It's a terrible thing to live and to die without Jesus Christ. So the Lord wants, if you're unsaved, you to just come surrender yourself to him today and he'll save you. Then if you're already saved, the Lord wants you to come to this altar this morning and say, I'm yielding myself to you. I'm surrendering everything to you, Lord. Now that's what the Lord wants us to say. And folks, we're talking about revival at Buffalo Ridge. Look at me just a minute. If you want revival, it'll begin right here. If I want revival, it'll begin right there. Surrendering myself totally, unreservedly unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll bring revival. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll give what you want me to give. You know, twice I surrendered to go to the mission field. Back years ago, back in the dark ages when I was in seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, I was at a missionary chapel service there in seminary, and the speaker brought a missionary message, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and there was a number of other young preachers went forward to surrender to the mission field. And there I was, Gene Laster was in that crowd many years ago that went forward in Fort Worth, Texas, Southwestern Baptist Seminary, and surrendered to go to mission field. And you know, shortly after that, it just seemed like that the feeling left that I ought to go to the mission field. I don't understand it, but just the feeling left. And then 2 or 3 years later, The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart at a Youth for Christ meeting at Winnowa Lake, Indiana. And the preacher preached about the great need for reaching young people for Christ down in South America. And again, I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to go forward and surrender myself to be a missionary to South America. And I went forward and surrendered myself to go to South America. And it just seemed like the Lord just closed the door on that. I couldn't understand it. Except I believe the Lord wanted to see if I would be willing to go anywhere He wanted me to go. I don't believe that the Lord would ever use me here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church these 28 years if I had not been willing to go anywhere in this world that He wanted me to go. And folks, that's the secret of being used of God. He said, Lord, I'm willing to do anything You want me to do. You just let me know, and I'll be willing to do it. And the Lord has blessed me here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in spite of my mistakes, and He's seen me through trouble many times, not because I'm so smart or not because I'm so great or not because I'm so good. I'm none of those. You've never heard Gene Lassie brag about how good I am, because I know better, see. But I know this. I believe the reason the Lord has blessed me, that He knows, blessed be God, down inside, that I want to do the will of God. I can confess, I don't always do it, and not always what it should be, but down inside, I want to do the will of God. And that's what the Lord wants. We'll fail many times. If we have a heart for God, God will bless us, folks. Just wanting to do the will of God. And down inside, I fail many times, but I want to be faithful to Him. And you can do that. You can have a heart for God. You can have a desire to be faithful. And God will bless you. So like these Macedonians, why don't you just come to this altar this morning and give yourself to the Lord right now. And say, Lord, I want Your blessings on my life. Here I am, Lord. I'm giving myself to You. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Why don't you say this morning, like those Macedonians said, when they said they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. The Lord doesn't need your talent. The Lord doesn't need your personality. The Lord doesn't need your money. He first of all wants you. And if He gets you, He'll get the rest of it. Christian, maybe God's spoken to you this morning about totally. Maybe you need to come to the place where you say, Lord, I want to yield to You. Lock, stock, and barrel, I want to be sold out to Jesus Christ. We'll have revival, folks, around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church when our people decide, I'm going to be sold out, lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus Christ. It ought to be Christians to come to this altar, tired of a half-hearted life, and tired of no victory, and tired of no power, and say, I'm surrendering everything to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's unsaved people here today. Oh, you're without Jesus. And if you'd die right now, you'd be lost. You'd be lost. And Jesus loves you. Christ died for you. And He wants to save you. He says, Him that cometh to Me, I will no wise cast out. You ought to come to Jesus. Be saved before you leave this building today. How many of you say, Preacher, the Lord spoke in my heart. I am saved. But God spoke to me about totally dedicating and yielding myself to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're unsaved. And He's spoken to you about coming to Christ and getting saved this morning. All over the house. Just lift your hand up right now. Let me pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. Just lift your hand. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just lift your hand right up. And just slip your hand right up. Preacher, God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me this morning. Pray for me. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. Let God speak your heart. Anyone else? If the Holy Spirit is calling you out to a life of dedication, totally yielding yourselves to Him, oh, that'll bring power. That'll bring the blessing of God on your life. Anyone else? God bless you, son. Maybe you've never been saved. Let us pray for you. Whatever the need is, slip your hand right up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Right forward, pray. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of once again preaching the Word of God. And Father, I've tried to tell people this morning the truth of God's Word. And Lord, I pray that not only will each person sitting out there, but Lord, may I, as the preacher, give myself first of all to the Lord. Lord, may each one renew that dedication this morning, right where they're sitting. Or maybe you want some to come to this altar and renew that dedication. I pray for the gentleman, the young fellow that raised their hands for prayer, others that should have. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to hearts. May people come down this aisle to a dedicated life and salvation before they leave here. Maybe somebody needs to join the church. May they come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And if you'll do that, God will bless you. The Lord's leading you and calling you to come to full surrender to Jesus Christ, or to come to Him for salvation, or to join the church, whatever it is. I'll meet you right in front. Come on, as God speaks to your heart. Let's stand and sing. You who raised your hand, just slip right on out. Come on right now to this altar. Amen. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Softly again, please thank the Lord for these that have come. There's others that need to come. Some here this morning. If your heart would quit beating in your chest cavity right now, you'd be lost without Christ, without hope, without God. I ask you to come right now. Maybe some of you need to rededicate your life or deal with problems or join the church, whatever. Just come on right now. Let the Lord have His way in your life. Would you do it? Won't you come? Just slip right out and come while God's dealing with hearts. You ought to come. Just slip out. Jesus loves you. He died for you. You ought to come. You ought to come right now. Settle this thing. Come to Jesus. Come on. Come on. Sing the next verse, choir. Are you willing to say that? All to Jesus I surrender. You ought to do it. This is a good time to do it. Okay, look this way. Let's sing. What's the next verse? The last verse. Let's sing the last verse. There's people that ought to come. This altar and this service today. Any of us been burdened for you? We prayed for you. You ought to come. You ought to come. Let's sing the last verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let the blessings fall on me. I
let's turn to come every soul by sin oppressed. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Let's sing a verse or two. Let's give the Lord a little time.
277.
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord.
Come every soul.